You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
So we have Susanna Walk, who is a tour director on the second national tour of Waitress, and she's also assistant directed on multiple Broadway shows. Hi, Susanna.
Hi, Mason. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I am good. I'm here in upstate New York.
Would you like to talk about how you got to where you are?
Sure. So I have done theater pretty much for all my life. It was definitely kind of the thing growing up that sort of allowed me to find my community and learn to express myself and engage with the world. And I think like many other people in the theater industry, my first experiences in the theater were as an actor. And that was sort of what I did all throughout my childhood and middle school, high school. And I directed one play when I was in high school, which was kind of an amazing experience. And I was like, okay, well, that's cool, but I'm going to go to college and keep acting. And when I was at school, I was at Harvard, and they had an amazing theater community there, which was something that I just did not expect at all. In fact, I was very worried that there wasn't going to be really an art scene. And quite to the contrary, they had so many opportunities for students to produce their own work, to direct their own work. It was sort of like a whole student-run community. And what was awesome was that it was taking place sort of side-by-side with the American Repertory Theater, which is an incredible regional theater where Waitress actually got started, and which is a part of Harvard. So they had a lot of opportunities for students to get involved there as interns and assistants. And so I started kind of spending all my time at the ART and not going to as many classes as I should have because I was too busy working on plays. And I sort of, I guess my sophomore year of college, I tried directing again, and I realized that I had so many interests within the theater, and being a director allowed me to focus on kind of the big picture and fuse all of those interests, as opposed to being an actor where I was just focused on my own little corner of the story. I thought it was really exciting how when you're a director, you're working with designers, you're working with a whole company of actors, you're working with a stage management team to do scheduling, and kind of being able to manage all those elements was what really connected with me and what felt right. So I sort of pursued that a lot more in college. And when I graduated, the ART was doing the show Finding Neverland there. And so kind of right after I graduated, I was very lucky that I got to start working on that show. And so that was the summer after I graduated college. And that show then transferred to Broadway. So I got to be a part of that, which was really exciting. And then meanwhile, so I've done a good amount of sort of assistant directing on Broadway and associate directing. And then I also do my own work as well, kind of more in a off Broadway situation. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm sort of, with regards to Waitress, I had assisted the director on the original Broadway production. And I was also the assistant director for the first tour. So that meant that I was involved kind of from day one of both those productions. And, you know, when you have a long running Broadway show or Broadway tour, there's a lot of checking in and maintenance that often falls on the assistant and associate teams. So because I had such intimate knowledge of the show from those experiences, I was able to kind of take on the tour director position for the second national tour.
What is a tour director's job?
That is a great question. So basically, I am the director of the tour. So it's essentially the tour director's job to take the original vision of the Broadway production in this case and then restage it for a brand new touring production. So actually, the director of the Broadway show is sort of takes a backseat and isn't really involved in so much in this tour. So it's my job to make sure that her vision is translated to a new company. So this starts out, I guess, with casting. So I work with the casting director. In the case of Waitress, it's a wonderful company called Stuart Whitley. And I work with the music and choreography teams, and together we sort of cast the show. So this includes, you know, auditions, dance calls, you know, we hear everyone sing, hear everyone act. We're looking at understudy coverage as well as the principals, and kind of through the audition process, we'll make our choices, and then those get approved up the chain of everyone who's important to the Waitress world. So producers, writers, etc. And then before we start rehearsals, we do a good amount of pre-production. So that means I work with the choreography team, the design team, production management, to sort of determine what adjustments are going to be made scenically for the show, which, you know, when you take a show from a Broadway theater where they're, you know, kind of permanently there to a show, especially for, you know, sometimes we're doing one-nighters on the road where you have to get in and out really, really quickly. And, you know, all the set has to fit into a certain number of trucks. That requires some adaptation. So for Waitress, we did a lot of pre-production, kind of figure out what changes we needed to make to the set and then how that would affect the staging and the choreography. So that was a big part of my job. And then we start rehearsal. So in rehearsal, you know, I work with the choreography team and the music team to get the show up on its feet. So I'm, you know, we're there, we have, all of us have, you know, immense records of what the show should look like, how it should feel, what the choreography is, the music. And so we're sort of teaching it to this new company that has not really experienced it before. And then we go and tech the show. So that's when we add in all the technical elements. We're in a theater for the first time. And yeah, and then the show opens and I run away and I get to check in on it from time to time, which is always really exciting.
How stressful is pre-production?
Well, it's very interesting time because, you know, it's always everything is sort of happening in your head, and so it's hard when you don't have actors and the real stuff in front of you. And I guess for this show, for Waitress, we had to make a lot of changes for this tour to the design. Because I guess if you saw the show on Broadway or even on the first national tour, a lot of the set was automated. And for a whole host of reasons, we kind of couldn't do that automation again for this tour. So we had to sort of reconceive a lot of things. And that was really hard, not knowing how certain set pieces that we were imagining were going to actually look in space and time. Yeah, I don't know if it was necessarily particularly stressful, but it's definitely, you know, time to kind of learn a lot about like what you want to do and get planning. So I did a lot of planning, I guess. I put the stress on myself.
What's the hardest part of your job during rehearsals?
During rehearsals, a couple things. I would say the hardest part kind of globally is making sure that it's taking something that's already been created and making it feel organic for a new company of artists who all have their own unique talents and eccentricities and, you know, things that make them special and human and skills. And, you know, people are coming to see the show Waitress and it has, you know, there's a certain expectation about what it should look like and be, and, you know, they want to see the Broadway show. And so we have to deliver on that element, but also it has to still feel like it's human and organic and coming from the real people who are putting it up. So, you know, it's important. It's hard to say, okay, well, it has to be this way, but I want it to be your version of that. And find, you know, knowing where to take liberties and where to sort of rein it in can be sort of challenging. So I would say that's probably the hardest part, is working with every like cast member and designer, crew member, to kind of find their authentic way into the story. And then kind of on a more nitty gritty level, I would say time management can be really challenging in rehearsals, but also like really fun when it works out. Just because for Waitress, we only had about like less than 3 weeks to get the whole show up on its feet before we started tech. And, you know, it's kind of a big show. There's a lot of people in it, a lot of choreography, a lot of the music is constant. And so I spent a lot of time scheduling. And, you know, we'll usually have two or three rehearsal rooms going at the same time. And I work with the stage manager to make sure that those rehearsal rooms are being used at, you know, 8 hours a day. So, because that's the only way that we can get the show up in the amount of time that we were given to do so. So just making sure everyone's time is being used really efficiently is a challenge. And as I mentioned, the adaptations that we had to make to the set are also a hard thing to do when you're in a rehearsal room and you don't necessarily have all the exact set pieces.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
So when you get new people playing these roles, they're obviously going to bring different things. So how do you say no to cast members?
That's a good question. I think I always try to say yes first. I think a big part of my job is to sort of encourage everyone's impulses and then synthesize it and filter it through, my lens as the director. And I think that's true in any rehearsal process, that like when, you know, you want people to feel comfortable coming to you with ideas and suggestions and experiments, because I think that's what's going to make the richest kind of fabric and piece in the end. So I guess I always try to say yes for it. Like, let's try it. Let's see what happens, because you never know what's going to happen. It could be something completely delightful that you never expected. And then I guess if there's an idea that I feel like is really the wrong thing, you know, yeah, I guess first I'll try and say yes and see what happens. If it's good, great. Like, that's a whole new thing that we just discovered. And then maybe if there's some sort of compromise that needs to be made, I'll try and work on a compromise where I can meet them halfway, they can meet me halfway. And if it's a real, if it's something that's completely wrong, I think the most important thing is that you treat everyone with kindness and respect, and you thank them for bringing the idea, and you allow them to try it first, and we can, you know, have a frank discussion about why it works or why it doesn't work.
So if you picture a show before rehearsals, how accurate is the final product?
Oh, man. For something like Waitress, I have a very elaborate blocking Bible that is like filled with charts and pictures, and it has the script and every little move that anyone makes on stage. I've got it like documented and like what number they're supposed to stand on and stuff like that. And like, I do, you know, try and stick to that, because that is what the show is. But I do think that's pretty accurate in terms of like doing a touring production. I think in terms of doing other types of directorial work, I do think preparation is super important, and kind of having a really clear vision of what you're going for, but then coming into the room with your collaborators and being able to say, okay, let's try this, or, oh, you had that great impulse, let's follow that in another direction. I think you know, being really, really prepared, in fact, allows you to be sort of freer and more open in the room, which I think leads to the most interesting art.
So what happens when the tour goes on the road? What do you do?
It's both a very exciting and very sad moment for me as the director, because typically after the opening, the director goes away. And so it definitely feels a bit like I'm dropping my children off at college and wondering how they're doing. So yeah, you sort of hand off the leadership to the production stage manager. And she's kind of the person on the ground who's in charge of running the show. And so I stay very close communication with her regarding any issues that are coming up, any, you know, understudies that are going in, or, you know, we keep in very close contact. And she actually writes a report every day after the show about how the show went and what happened. And, you know, so I, you know, every day I'm like sitting on my computer waiting to get my show report, see how the show went. And then we'll usually the creative team will come and check in on the show once a month or so, once every 2 months, just kind of see how things are going, especially on the road. It's just such an exhausting and grueling schedule sometimes that, you know, performances can evolve and change, and sometimes they get even deeper and even better than they were, and sometimes things get a little messy and you got to sort of rein it back in. So we like to check in, you know, I like to check in like once a month or so, to see how things are going.
So when I interviewed Gabriella Marzetta, she mentioned getting fined for like mistakes that halt the show or something. So who decides to make that decision?
That would be, the responsibility of stage management. That's like a pretty unique situation that someone would get fined. But definitely, like, the stage managers are there to watch the show and make sure everything is kind of staying in order. And then they'll, you know, give me a call if things are not.
Do you think education or experience would be the best if people wanted to get where you are?
I think both are really, really important. I think, though, education, you cannot overvalue the importance of education. I think it's absolutely essential for anyone just to be a good citizen of the world. And I think especially in the arts, it's important that we educate ourselves around a lot of different things and not just how to be a theater maker. But, you know, when you educate yourself about the world, you then have a lot more of a toolkit that you can bring to your artwork, and a lot more things that you can make art about. So I really encourage everyone to try and, you know, seek out education and not just about theater, but about everything.
So my last question is, what are you doing during quarantine?
I've actually been baking quite a lot. I normally don't cook or bake ever in New York. Like I rarely cook for myself, and I've had so much time up here that I'm like, let me see what this is like. And turns out baking is really fun. Who knew I could work on a whole show about baking, and I had no idea. I'm just kidding. I've been baking a lot. I've been reading a lot. I've been trying to read all of Toni Morrison's books. So I have started like at the beginning of her canon, and I'm sort of working my way through all of her books, which are absolutely, absolutely just treasures. And each one is incredible in its own way. I've been teaching a yoga class. I've been working on a play that me and a playwright are developing. That's kind of been my main project that I've had going on. So we've been kind of, we meet over Zoom almost every day to kind of work on rewrites and just develop this piece, which has been definitely good to have a sort of creative outlook. And then I think, you know, like many people in our country, I'm just trying to educate myself around racial justice and support the protests from afar. That's been my quarantine experience.
It's amazing what baking can do.
It's true.
Thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure. It's so nice to talk to you.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Susanna Walk. Thank you so much for being here. See you next week. Roll the outro.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.